For a text this morning, I'd like to read from the 20th chapter of Matthew, and reading through the first 16 verses. That's Matthew chapter 20, and beginning with verse 1, and reading the words in Jesus' name. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? And they say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we turn unto you even at this moment, and we pray that, Lord, that through your Spirit, that, Father, the words that are spoken would be yours, and that man would step aside. Father, your words are truth, even as Scripture has told us. In Jesus' name, amen. This particular portion of Scripture actually begins back even in the 19th chapter. Jesus is instructing his disciples on how things are going to be. He's kind of warning them that, say, look, things are going to change. Things aren't staying the same here because something new is coming. In fact, it's after the 16th verse that we read. He then begins to tell his disciples about what is going to happen when he goes to Jerusalem. And of course, we know how that ended. They weren't too crazy about that idea, but we also know that he did fulfill his father's wishes. So it goes on, and the verse 16 of the 19th chapter is something that I'm sure we've all read many times, and it says, And behold, came one and said to him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Now, folks, realize what he says. What good thing shall I do? And you see, this was the type of thinking that was going on in that time. And he said unto him, Why do you call me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Now Jesus goes on in the next two verses and telling him six commandments. He said to him, Which? And Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Six commandments, but there were 10. So why did he tell him just the six? Because he knew what this man's answer was going to be. And the young man said to him, All these things I have kept from my youth up. What do I lack? What lack I yet? What is it that I lack? Because I've done what you've told me to do. And this was how it was in those days. They followed the commandments. Now, we might say, we might say that the ones that Jesus told him were possibly easier to keep than some others at face value. But he also says at some points in Scripture that you do not murder. Well, he also says that if you are angry with your brother, you've committed murder in your heart. And then he says, thou shalt not commit adultery. He says, if you look upon another with a lustful eye, you've committed adultery. It is so fine. God is so fine and so exact that you can't get away from it. You can't get away with doing things, thinking that you're doing okay. Because when you get down into the meat of it, or into the nitty gritty, so to speak, you're going to find out that you're guilty. You're going to find out that, no, I'm not. I haven't taken care of all these things. But then he goes on, and the young man said to him, okay, I've kept all these things from my youth. From my youth all the way up to today, I have kept all these commandments. What do I lack yet? What else do I have to do? Now remember, Jesus is taking and telling them that things are going to change. They aren't going to be the same as what they are and what they have been. And then Jesus said to him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. And when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He just blew the first commandment completely out of the water. Blew it out completely out of the water. Because you shall honor God and have no other gods before me. Commandment number one. But for him, his wealth was worth more than honoring God. What he had, what he possessed, was important to him. And he wasn't about to get rid of it. And then Jesus said to his disciples, verily I say to you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into heaven, or enter into the kingdom of God. There's been several things explaining the eye of the needle. But the sum and substance is that a camel cannot enter into, go through an eye of a needle. We know that. But if a person is rich in himself, if a person is rich in looking upon himself and saying that I can do this, 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 that, and the other, then I'm doing good. And that's what Jesus is saying, no. No. It's easier for a camel to pass through an eye of a needle than it is for you to enter into heaven with that type of thinking, with that type of an understanding. And then when his disciples heard this, they were amazed and said, who can be saved? Again, they're with that old thinking, that old understanding. And Jesus tells them, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. With men it is impossible. Think about that. Each and every one of us sitting here this morning, including the little ones, with man it is impossible. It won't happen. But with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said to him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Basically, what Peter was saying is, hey, we've followed you around. What's in it for me? That's basically what he's saying. What is it that I'm going to get out of this? You know, I'm doing what you're telling me to do. I'm learning the things you're telling me. What's in it for me? Again, remember, let's go back to Deuteronomy. Chapter 27, I believe it is. Is it 27 or 28? 28. Okay, yeah, chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Now, this is how the people or the children of Israel were taught. And this is what they were to expect. And the writer says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come to you and overtake you, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the crease of thy kin, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out." And it goes on this same vein for the next 14 verses. Telling them that if you serve God and if you honor him, you will be blessed for what you have done. But now let's go down to verse 15. And he said, "But it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all these commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field, and cursed shalt thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, and increased by the kin and the flocks of thy sheep." And on it goes. Because you don't follow the instructions of God. And this is the way it was in the Old Testament. This is how things were. And this is how Peter and all the rest of the disciples, this is how they were brought up. This is how they understood the workings of God. That I have to do good and I have to worship God in order to receive the blessings. That's the way things were. But again, Jesus is coming to them and telling them, all of this is going to change. All of this is going to go away. And it's going to change into something different and something better. And in being better, I mean that through faith, they will be saved. There's no more works. There's nothing else that can be done or that they will have to do in order to attain heaven. All they have to do is believe. It's a much simpler procedure, relatively. But there are times, too, where that can even be difficult. And Jesus said to them, "Verily I say to you, that ye which follow me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." That's what's in it for him. If you follow me, if you follow Christ. "And everyone that is forsaken house or brethren, sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, children, or lands for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life." Now scripture, when it speaks of this, forsaking houses and brethren or sisters and father, it's not necessarily leaving and letting them fend for themselves. That's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about here is that worship Christ and make him the important thing of your life Not that houses and family isn't important. I'm not saying that at all. But the point is that Christ should be number one. The rest will follow. And they will follow joyfully. They will do what needs to be done. And then in verse 30, but many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Now remember that verse. So now we get into the 20th chapter where he talks about the laborers in the vineyard. And we notice that he went out. Now, in those days, and for a lot of us when we worked, a 12-hour day was a short day, especially for farmers. But as a general rule, a 12 hours was a work day. So he goes out at 6 in the morning, and he's seeing these people, and he says, okay, I need some people to work in my vineyard. I'll pay you a penny a day for working the 12 hours. Okay, so they agreed to it, and they went. Then he went out the third hour, which would have been 9 o'clock, and then he saw other men standing around idle in the marketplace, which was the common area to go to find somebody to do the work that you needed to do. And he said to them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right. Now you notice, the first ones he said that he will give them a penny. The second time he goes out there, he says, whatever is right, I will give you, and they went their way. And then he went out again the sixth hour, which would have been noon. He went out again the ninth hour, which would have been 3 in the afternoon, and did likewise. Then he went out there at the 11th hour, which would have been 5 o'clock. It's almost quitting time. He went out and he found there were still some people standing around idle, and said unto them, why do you stand here all day idle? And they said, because no man has hired us. And he said to them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. One thing we have to realize, these people who were hanging around the marketplace waiting for somebody to come and hire them, for the most part, they were not experienced craftsmen. They were basically laborers, is what they were. But having said that, the people who go and work in a vineyard can't just go by themselves or just go and do what they want to do. There are certain aspects and certain ways that these things should be done. You don't just go in there and start hacking away at the vines and cutting the grapes out. There's certain ways of doing it. So experience does come into play here. But the people who hung around in this vineyard, for the most part, were, I don't want to say destitute, but they were poor, and they needed work, because they had, most of them had families to take care of and to feed. So they were hanging around over there hoping that they would get a job. And this will come into play later on. But he said, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that you shall receive. So when the evening was come, now these guys had only worked for an hour. So when the evening was come, or 6 o'clock in the evening, the lord of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And we came and when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. Notice he didn't tell them what was right. He just said, I'll give you what was right. And now he's giving them a penny. And when they first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And they began to murmur against the good man of the house. He says, wait a minute. We've been out here all day long. These other guys were only here for an hour. And you have made them equal to us, which have borne the burden of the heat of the day. It's tough working out in a vineyard all day long. It's not an easy job. And the guy that owned the vineyard treated them all equally. Now we get into how God treats us. You go into Luke, into the 23rd chapter. What did he do? What did Christ say to the robber on the cross? Now, this man had spent his entire life doing things that were not right, breaking laws. He just wasn't a good person. And what did Jesus do? He told him, because he repented, he told him, today you shall be with me in paradise. That's a man that came in on the 11th hour. That's the person who came in at the end of his life and recognized that I have nothing that I could, of myself, that I could gain, that I would be able to gain his heavenly home. Let me ask you, and there have been many deathbed conversions, if you will, or repentances over the years. There have been a lot of them. Do you know of anybody that would have rejected someone who would have asked for forgiveness? Do you know of anybody that would have refused to give it to them? I don't. What's more important to the life of a Christian? What's more important to the life of a believer than to see another person come to salvation? That is the most important thing in the world. Because you see, as believers, we know what the end result will be. We know what the end result will be by having faith, and we know where we will go. But we also know what the end result will be for those who will not and refuse to believe. And for them, it's not going to be pleasant. I remember talking a little bit about this when I was younger. I'm not worried about it. There's going to be all kinds of my friends down there. We're going to have a party. Oh, mankind can be so awfully stupid at times. You know what? And forgive me for using those terms, but what else can it be? It's not going to be a party. It's not going to be fun. On the contrary, it's going to be bad. And it is not going to be something that you're going to want to partake of. And yet Satan is right there trying to convince every single person to don't believe what Christ has done for you. And he answered one to them and said, "Friend, I do thee no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a penny? Didn't you agree with me when I went out and hired you and told you I'd give you a penny? You said, okay, and you went. Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee." That reward that will be given to each and every person who believes will be the same. It's not going to be any different. And then he says, "Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? In thine eye evil because I am good?" You see, this is the way God works. God made us. He formed us. And he knows the type of people that we are. And he knows that because we trust in Christ, that we have that eternal hope. So he's asking him, "You're mine." Or telling him, "Isn't it okay that I can do what I want with mine? Isn't it okay that I can do what I wish to do because I own all of this? Why do you come to me and start telling me that it's not fair? I'm giving you exactly what I promised to give you. I'm giving you exactly what you agreed to. Why do you think that I can't do what I want to do?" Now this verse here, and it's the same as verse 30 in the previous chapter. "So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few are chosen." Doesn't make any sense to us, does it? The last who are called shall be first, and the first who are called shall be last. For many are called, but few are chosen. Every single person in this world today is being called to worship God and to believe in Christ. Every one of them, every one that has ever been born from the beginning of time. And I say, when I say the beginning of time, from the beginning of when Christ went into heaven and started the new that I spoke of, from what they had been doing. Every single one of them has been called. And they, as well as us, have all been given the opportunity and the choice to trust in God and trust what the Savior has done. We are the few chosen because we have believed. We were called, we heeded the call, and we are now chosen to be with Him. May He add His blessings to these words. In Jesus' name, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank You for these blessings. We thank You, Lord, for these words. We ask, O Father, that as we leave from here, that You would continue to watch over us and protect us. Keep us safe in our homes. Keep us safe in our work or wherever we are going and whatever we are doing. And that we would not become sick, and that we would not become have any issues or problems. Father, we thank You for Your many blessings in Jesus' name. And Father, now we ask that You would bless us and keep us, that You would make Your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us, that You would lift up Your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.